Hello, Potters, and welcome to episode 97 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. As you can see, Val is demonstrating exactly what our podcast is about.
Hi.
He's going to end up being a little preoccupied this episode because, oh my god, Dragon Con.
In less than a week. Oh god, I leave in 5 days, if that. Yeah. Last minute costume, woohoo!
Yep.
Kids, don't try this at home.
Just a few things to start out with. First of all, happy International Cosplay Day to everyone out there. Today is, in fact, International Cosplay Day. By the time most of you guys hear this episode, unfortunately, it will already be over. But for those who are celebrating today as we are recording this, we hope you guys had a great time. I saw on Facebook there were several meetups. I know for sure there was one where we live, down at one
Dallas.
So hopefully everybody had a great time enjoying cosplay, sharing cosplay, introducing new people to cosplay.
That's awesome. I didn't know we had one locally. Cool.
Yep. Also, we would like to give a shout out to the Paid to Play podcast. They actually did an interview with Dante's Inferno. I think her name is Eve Dantes. The Dante's Inferno is the name of the episode. It's 57 in their podcast index. And they spoke with her about organizing conventions, selling prints, and being sponsored to cosplay. All good things. She will actually be at Sugar City Con in McKay this weekend. So if you would like, head over to their page, the Paid to Play podcast, and give that one a listen. There we go. And lastly, I wanted to mention, I believe it's on the LA Times. If anybody's looking for particularly geeky movie and TV costume memorabilia, they're actually having an auction. And from what I saw, they're actually auctioning off everything from one of Spock's original uniforms on Star Trek to the much vaunted multipass of Lilu fame.
That's awesome.
If that is your cup of tea, we will go ahead and put that link in the show notes. In fact, it is the LA Times. They're also the index image for it is they are selling the Fizzgig puppet from Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal.
Oh, that's awesome. Aw.
So they have a whole heap of things that they are auctioning off. If you are interested, again, we will put that in the show notes. Good stuff. If you end up using actual screen-used pieces in your cosplay, just side tip for you guys, you have to take care of them in a different way than you take care of standard costumes.
So oh, absolutely.
Because they are meant to be show pieces. They were not necessarily built to stand up to the rigors of convention cosplay.
No, not in the least bit. So please be very cautious. It's one of those things where it's like, if you get a replica of something, it's like, okay, that's cool. You really shouldn't be showcasing it because the whole point of it is to have value and it's an investment piece. It's not something to play with. That's why it's like the multipass sounds really, really awesome. I would love to put that in a costume, but I would never do that because that would immediately deteriorate in value.
They are neat to have.
Yeah.
Just I wanted to put that up front that, you know, there's a reason that movie studios make 5 or 6 copies of these things. Yeah. They're not built to stand up to the rigors of day life.
No.
All right. And so, I don't think my piece is up here anymore. I think it actually may have been taken apart. Yes, it was. The one cosplay update that I had is that I actually finished the patterning for the bag I was working on, and I started cutting out styrene for it, but it's all apart in pieces, so it doesn't look awesome. I haven't cut out the fabric yet. That's the one thing I need to do, and then I can start assembling it. Because otherwise, I've been actually doing a lot of mundane crafting. I made some address blocks, a little hanging for my house so that people can see what number my house is on the street, since that tends to be a problem where I live. I mended a backpack, and I actually have to draft a pattern to make seat covers for my motorcycle because the leather is tearing. So I'm actually using my cosplay sewing and patterning skills just in mundane life.
Just a normal everyday things.
Yes, unfortunately, quite a bit of real life has gotten in the way unexpectedly recently to where I wasn't able to work on my TRF cosplay that I've been plugging away at for a while. Plus, I discovered League of Legends. And because I haven't been able to work on cosplay as much as I've wanted to, League has kind of become my stress outlet temporarily. So, yes, I play ADC support in League. Woo!
Should we really be
So I
surprised by
don't.
that?
No.
Yeah, there we go. Accurate answer.
Anytime I game, it is always ranged and/or mage characters, so.
Yeah, I'm always a mage. I'm always a mage.
All right, but enough of League talk. Let us move on to your cosplay updates, which I see you working on.
Yeah, which I'm totally working on. So, I'm in the process of making a quote unquote Playboy bunny suit outfit. So, if you guys have been up to date with all the cosplay stuff going on this year, like the bunny suit has really been like the thing that has taken off. It seems like every convention there's a series of bunny suits, or it's like there's a bunny hutch party and all that. And Dragon Con is really no exception because Thursday night before the con even begins, they're having a huge party where it's going to be full of bunny suits left and right. So I decided I wanted to make one, and I had one planned out for a while. Initially, I started working on it with a traditional pattern, and this is what it used to look like. It's total crap. I'm tossing this aside because the fashion fabric is horrendous. It's not cheap satin, but for some reason or another, it's acting
It
like
looks
cheap
like
satin.
it.
Yeah, it's acting like it, and it's like seriously, and I paid a decent amount for this, so it's like okay. Between that one and a lot of the tutorials that I ran across for bunny suits don't include lining. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but when I make a garment that's going to be that close to my body, I don't want the mounting fabric to be scratching me all night. And in this case, my mounting fabric is duck canvas. No, thank you. I need lining. So between those two issues, I just couldn't make that work. It was just becoming such a hassle. And I was like, that's 15 plus hours of my time wasted now in the trash. So I went to this as my backup. I just pulled my spandex out of my box. I made that in about 3 hours. There's my backup. I'm done. I still have little bits and pieces to work on with this, such as adding some Velcro to the sides where I have her weird pipes and buckles and all that type of crud. I have to make this more Borderlandsy, which means lots of inking. I'm going to be distressing this, so it's not going to be so nice and pretty when I'm done with it. And then, of course, I have to make the bunny ears and the cups. But other than that, I mean, 3 hours of work done. Versus this 15 plus hours of crap that I'm about to throw away. I'm going to salvage the boning that I put into it, but that's probably about it. Yeah. Sad face. Massive sad face. But that's okay. Last minute projects. Woohoo!
Check chat. Anyways, also one other brief thing that I wanted to mention for those of you who haven't been to Joann's lately, speaking of casual cosplay, is that they now have Nintendo fabric.
Oh my God, yes. Not all of
They
them
have
yet. I've
Nintendo
noticed.
fabric, they have Star Wars fabric, they have Doctor Who fabric, and they have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fabric, all of which are licensed. It is legit stuff, man.
I so want all the Nintendo stuff. I will say, because I did try going out on Thursday, and the Joann's that was near my office did not have them in stock yet, but they're all steadily getting them. So not all of them will have them yet. But I want that Donkey Kong one.
You can pre-order some of it on their website. Not all of it. Again, some of it. They're still inventorying and getting it in. If you do find it in a store, highly recommended that you either buy a large quantity or you buy whatever's left on the bolt because, from what I have heard in the DFW area, this stuff is going like hotcakes.
Oh yeah, we're just
You
like
are lucky
nah.
to find it in the store.
We're taking it because they're all really, really cool prints. Now some of the names are a little questionable. Like one of them's called Zelda Comic, and you're like, really? But other than that, I mean, all the patterns are actually really nifty to look at. I was fairly surprised in how detailed they all were without seeing like, oh, geek overload.
Right. And they do sell it both in broadcloth, say for quilting, and they sell it in fleece. So you can always make kigurumis with it. There
Fuzzies.
will be all sorts of new geeky wearables I foresee very, very shortly, including
Darn
scarves
right.
for the upcoming winter season.
Needless to
And
say, Val will be making a
go
lot
ahead.
of PJ bottoms.
And since you had mentioned things directly touching your skin, I thought that We would discuss this as one, it's upcoming convention season where a lot of people are going to be seen in public, and two, there have been recent pictures in some forums that basically alluded to this.
segue.
Boys and girls, let's talk about undergarments and why you should
Yay!
wear them properly.
Properly.
And by undergarments, I don't just mean standard issue underwear and, standard brassieres. Basically, when you wear cosplay out, if it is very form-fitting, there are parts of the human body that are going to protrude through the fabric. We all know this. We have seen it. I mean, we look at our own bodies in the mirror. So, let's be adult about this. There are some things you don't want showing in public. And to that end, they make special undergarments that you wear. For women, they have, padded bras so that your nipples don't show. And you also need to make sure that you are wearing adequate undergarments down below so that you don't show in a way that you would not like being made public. For the gentlemen, they make something called dance belts so that your nether regions do not show to people in public in a way that you would not like people to know either, because people don't typically like broadcasting their size in public with photo evidence. Anyways, this being said, it is highly encouraged that you do purchase quality undergarments to be used under your cosplay. If you do not know where to get these, Google is your friend. You can leave the safe search on if you like. This is not something uncommon. It's not something to be ashamed about. We simply want you to look good in your cosplay. So Google where to find them. Google how to take your measurements, because having a well-fitted undergarment, also important. And the third thing that I wanted to mention is that you should construct your cosplay with undergarments in mind. Yes, I understand that there are certain garments, kilts, where people traditionally go without. Not in the cosplay realm, please. Please wear undergarments. There are people who take photos. In fact, the reason I bring this up is that sometimes people will have photos taken of themselves in their costume, and they've probably never seen themselves in a full-length mirror. They don't know. They genuinely don't know that they're showing. And it can be really embarrassing to call it out publicly and say, "Hey, dude, you're showing." Especially if you use very offensive urban language about it. Because we all know that there's slang for these sorts of things. So, if you see someone showing, totally up to you if you end up privately letting them know in a very polite and constructive fashion, please. Don't make fun of them. Please keep it private. Don't sit there and call them out publicly. Please. Again, we don't want to embarrass them any more than they already are, because again, they're in a picture. But for those who have used such undergarments, please act like a mentor to these younger generation that don't know, that genuinely don't know. If you use a dance belt, feel free to honestly talk about your experience. How comfortable is it? Where do you get them? How much do they cost? Same thing with the ladies, getting some of these Victoria's Secret bombshell bras. You don't have to be embarrassed. It's not anything to be ashamed about. Feel free to ask somebody, "Hey, where did you get that? How much did you pay for it?" Because we're all one community and we want everyone to look good in photos and not be embarrassed. So wear underwear.
Look at it this way. It's all part of the costuming process. And it's the same like if you were to go to a job interview. You want to look your best and you want to dress to impress. And the best way to do that is to have not only a great looking outfit, but having proper undergarments to go with it. Something like this, which seems like it'd be fairly simple, that I wouldn't have to put on quite a bit of underwear. I actually do. I need to put on not only a proper fitting bra for myself, but I need to make sure that the underwear that I'm wearing for this is not going to show because this is high cut around my thighs. I'm going to be wearing two pairs of tights, and I'm going to be wearing Spanx on top of that just to make sure that everything is in, everything holds, and I don't have to worry about anything coming out or looking unnatural. And that's just part of the process. And it's the same thing whenever I wear any of my other spandex-oriented costumes. And I guess for me, my biggest thing is with gentlemen who don't know about dance belts, I know a lot of people say that they seem uncomfortable. And I can tell you, not from personal experience, but from friends of mine who have worn them before, and I used to do ballet, it's no different than wearing normal underwear. It really, really isn't. And just the way that they're constructed, it keeps everything in and it makes everything look smooth. It doesn't give the awkwardness of stuff hanging out when there's a child standing next to you for a photograph, which is always the weirdest and creepiest thing. So it's like, ah, please, please, please. So it's understandable if you don't know about it. It's okay. Not all gentlemen do, not all ladies do, but that's why it's okay to ask. You know, hey, is there a better way to look like this? And even someone of my body size, I don't look like I could need Spanx. I'm fully aware of that. But if I'm gonna be showing my legs off like this, I'm gonna be wearing the Spanx. I'm gonna make sure everything stays in because I don't want anything coming out. Stuff is not allowed to be showing.
Right. And there are people who may want to show themselves off in that fashion. You know, if you got it, flaunt it.
Sure.
Please remember that there are kids at eye level with your junk and with your chest. So while you may wish to show it off to your age generation, kindly remember that there are public decency laws dealing with the younger generation.
My whole thing is for the ladies and the gents who think that it's attractive to be showing that stuff off. Most of us don't find that attractive at all. We just think that it looks messy. It's like, why can't you put on real underwear? So no, it doesn't attract us. It just makes us wonder.
It
Yeah,
makes you look lazy too.
it makes you look very lazy and just not capable of taking care of yourself, which is the exact opposite that you want for your costume.
And should you choose not to wear such things? You know, if you choose, and I have personally experienced people who have said, you know, I don't want to do this, or I couldn't find what I needed, or whatever excuse. If you're going to do that, make sure that you are landscaped or manscaped so that, you know, borrowing from another blog, you don't look like you're smuggling ramen into the building.
Interesting. Interesting
So
phrase.
I'm not taking credit for that one, but it is apropos.
Yeah, I'll give that one.
You know, again, if you're not wearing undergarments, we can tell. And
Yeah.
remember that there is photographic evidence of this at cons. People can and will take your picture.
Oh, yeah.
And you would probably much rather end up on cosplay.com than you would 4chan. No offense to 4chan. Anyways, now that we have gotten that public announcement out of the way.
No, it was very, very timely because there was a video for Dragon Con that got posted recently with some people who were doing some newscasts, and an unfortunate person in a superhero outfit was not wearing proper undergarments on live television. It was just, I was trying not to face palm.
Yeah, nothing ever disappears on the internet, guys. There are
No.
archives of it somewhere.
And again, we don't find it attractive when your junk is hanging out. Men or women. It just doesn't look clean. Ugh. Sorry.
All right. And speaking of Dragon Con,
Yay! All right, I'm gonna
this
put down
segment's
my
all
needle.
yours.
Putting down the needle. Hang on. We're gonna stick the needle in the proper place and not on top of my computer. Beep. Okay, that's in the tomato. Now we're good. So everybody knows that it's coming up next week because I got my report card, which I know it's backwards on here. I'm sorry, that's just the way the weird camera works. But yeah, I got my report of all the things that are coming on and going and happening in Dragon Con. By the way, this lovely lady name is Brianna. She's from the DFW area. Go her. She's on the cover. Anyway, so per usual, they have all the craziness and insanity going on. They're anticipating about 65,000 people coming into Atlanta for the weekend, which is more than what they've had in past years. On top of that, for Thursday in particular, it's going to be a little busy because apparently Joe Biden, the vice president, is supposed to be in town, and there are two football games. So yeah, it's going to be crowded, probably more so than normal. I have some things that I've heard from about them, and what they're doing is they've changed the layouts of where they're doing panels and where they're having their dealer's room. So it's much bigger and much more walking space. The same thing with the parade route. They've changed how that one's going to be laying out as well. So it's a teeny little bit longer than last year, but it's literally just one giant straight walk down one road. So you don't have to worry about too much extra crowding or having to go around weird blocks and corners. And it was almost like a Tetris last year with how the route was.
Can I make one quick PA and then I'll shut up?
Yeah, go for it.
It's relevant. Being that Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden's going to be in town and the football game audience, there's a lot of people who are not going to be cosplayers who don't really know what cosplay is, don't understand it, think that they're freaks. For those who are cosplaying and going, please don't taunt them. Please don't give the cosplay community a bad name by flaunting yourself in front of them, by making them feel lesser, by, implying that they are not nerdy enough. Just please comport yourself as befitting the cosplay community at large, because there's always events like these where there can be some hilarious things going on. I have been, AllCon was held one year when there was a dentist convention and when the Red Hat ladies were in the same hotel. And they got a kick out of the cosplay. They enjoyed the heck out of themselves. And there were some pretty hilarious pictures that came out of it because both parties agreed to stage these photos. So, you can have fun with it, with the mundanes, as they're lovingly called. But
The
please,
normies.
yeah, just please don't make a fool of yourself because it makes the rest of us look bad. So that's just my PA.
And what was it? PBS did a documentary back in 2011 or 2012, I believe, because they also recently reposted that for Dragon Con weekend. And they actually talked to some of the people who work in the hotels and who actually service Dragon Con. They're like, you know what? Out of all of the people that we have that come here every year, the Dragon Con convention seems to have some of the nicest people and the biggest tippers. So that's kind of nice to hear. It's like, hey, good one for us. We spend more money than the football kids. All right.
See, this is nerds giving nerds a good reputation.
Absolutely. All right. So right now I'm trying to pull up all their stuff for their costuming track on their lovely phone app. They actually have a phone app that they make specifically for them, so it's not done through guidebook or anything like that. And I noticed this year what they're doing a lot of is costume exhibits. So they're actually pulling in people who are celebrities in the costuming world, people from Hollywood, from television, movies, theater. And I was like, that's pretty darn cool. So they have a couple of musicals coming in. I know Wicked is one of them, so that'll be really cool to see. Game of Thrones costumes are coming in as well. One of them in particular is a dress that I really want to work on. Needless to say, Val will be taking her very, very expensive DSLR camera with her to get good photos of this dress. And there's been a rumor that we're supposed to get some Star Wars costumes in there too. So, yeah. Val's going to be a very happy camper and be taking a lot of photos of that. But other than that, as far as other costuming content, I was kind of disappointed at the lack of other stuff. I mean, they've got something for thermoplastics and they have another panel for headgear and helmets. But the rest of it's kind of, just the same old, same old. It's a lot of the 101 panels. And you're just like, okay, well, you would hope with Dragon Con that they would have more content. And they have a lot of it, but it's a lot of the same stuff that we're so used to seeing that it's like, okay, I'm gonna have to probably end up passing up all of these and just do other stuff. I will say, in lieu of the content and panels, they do have a ton of costume contests. Let's see, we have Friday night one, there's a video game one, there's the aquarium one. The Bunny Hutch Party is going to have one. They have their Saturday contest. Then they have the Sunday contest. They have a Star Wars contest. There's one more in there that I can't remember, but I know there's eight. It's a lot of contests. And they're really all about showcasing the creativity of their fans. And I think that's really, really cool. In fact, I have actually signed up and entered their Friday night costume contest. What's different about the Friday night one is that this is 100% craftsmanship oriented. So it's not about being in character. It's not walking the walk. It's really about talking the talk. So, and this one's going to be an interesting experience because I had a little bit of a mishap with my registration initially, and I'm still not 100% certain that they got my portfolio. The read receipt says that they did. I'm hoping that's the case, but I'm taking printouts of all my emails just to make 100% certain that there was no issue with that. Because my portfolio is 15% of my score. I really don't want that to go bad for me. So it'll be an interesting experience. My prejudging session is about an hour before the contest itself starts, which I've been through before. I've done that before, and I don't have to worry about having to be in my dress all day long. Thank goodness. I'll be wearing my Amidala black travel gown. So that'll be fun in Atlanta. Humidity, even with all the rain, the now failing tropical storm. Well, it's tropical depression now, isn't it? So yeah.
No, it's a tropical wave now.
It's a wave now?
It's even lower than a depression.
Wow. So we may just get a little bit of rain. I'm okay with that. Just a smidge. Just don't get it on my nice dress. That's all I ask. And the contest itself is only about an hour long, so this is fitting well within my 3-hour cutoff limit for entering a contest. And what's cool this year is for those who are entering in the professional category, they have a social media award where they basically post all the photos of all the contestants on Friday night, and you have 24 hours to vote. And whoever gets the most likes on the Facebook page is going to get a prize of a free autograph and free photo of any celebrity of their choice that's currently attending Dragon Con this year. So I was like, okay, it's kind of cool. It's only open for those who are in the professional class, which I didn't sign up for. I may get bumped up there. I don't know. So hey, if that happens, vote for me. I should be really easy to stand out. I'll be the one in the giant black dress with feathers. And then the other cool thing is that they're doing a brand new costume contest at the aquarium this year. Yaya Han is emceeing it, and there's a couple of people that you may hear from Heroes of Cosplay who are judging the contest, so that should be kind of interesting to see. And their big prize is whoever gets first place gets a guaranteed hotel room for next year at Dragon Con, which for those of you who don't know, that's a big coveted spot because it is a pain in the tush trying to get a hotel room at Dragon Con. It's equivalent to trying to get a ticket into SDCC, if that helps at all. Which is also really difficult to get. But other than that, the only thing that I'm expecting is just to have a lot of fun, a lot of hangout times. We kept our schedule pretty light this year with content. Mostly, I'm just looking forward to seeing the costuming exhibit. I'm really excited for that. And bringing probably about 7 costumes along with me so I can just be crazy along with everybody else. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think the photos that I took last year spoke for themselves of just how much insanity and how much is going on. I know it's impossible for me to see everything. It's just not going to happen. So doing the route of let's just lackadaisy walk around. If we find something we want to do, cool. I think that worked really well for us last year. So we're going to do that again. We'll see what happens.
Are you bringing the alpaca?
I'm highly tempted to bring the alpaca. I'm just concerned about space. I think it may have to be my carry-on.
I want a picture of you in Amidala with the Amidalpaca.
Amidalpaca. Yay! Amipaca! Yes. Yeah, I'm going to try to stick him in there. If he doesn't fit into any of the bags, he'll be my carry-on. Appropriately enough.
Awesome.
It'll be good times, man.
Speaking of cons, hopefully those who are at PAX Prime this weekend are also having an awesome, awesome time.
I'm sure you are.
It's a little bit less of a cosplay heavy convention because it's more video gaming and tabletop gaming. It's very industry heavy in a way. But there is cosplay because we have seen photos already from Cosplay in America. So
oh, yeah.
Good on Eugene for that. So if you happen to have photos of cosplayers at PAX Prime, feel free to share them with us and we will, you know, in turn share them with the audience. And of course, those who are attending other conventions next weekend, including Anime Fest, we hope you guys also enjoy yourselves very, very much. Please, again, feel free to share photos of any cosplayers that you find, especially at Dragon Con with as many people as there will be. Val can't get photos of everybody.
No, and my connection is probably not going to be grand because everyone's going to be trying to use their cell phone service at the same time.
Exactly. So, you know, by proxy, we can get photos of all the cosplayers if everybody combines together.
I will say, though, We can do it. I'm already kind of disappointed though because they've changed out some of the carpet at the Marriott, and I'm already saddened by this. There are some of the lower levels have the original carpets still, but they're in the process of changing over to the new stuff. And it's just like, aw. I mean, I know the old stuff wasn't the best looking, but it was unique to that Marriott. It had its own flair. It had its own specialness. Now it's like, aw.
It inspired its own cosplay and Spoonflower fabric.
Exactly. So it's like you know somebody's going to come up with new carpet cosplay just because of it.
It's now tradition.
Oh,
Someone
absolutely.
has to cosplay the carpet.
Just like the gazebo at Katsucon has its own thing, the carpet at the Marriott has to have cosplay.
Someone has actually cosplayed that gazebo too.
Yes, that was awesome.
All right. And speaking of looking like things, a
Hey,
cosplay
you're
hat
doing awesome
thing.
on the segues.
All right. So, listener Clinton shared with us an article about cosplay lookalikes, about people who very, very closely resemble their real life incarnation or the actor or actress who was selected to portray this fictitious character. So, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, that sort of thing. And so we wanted to discuss, just for a little bit, what looking like a particular actor or actress affects. How does it affect your cosplay? How does it affect the cosplay community as a whole? How does it influence how we judge somebody in cosplay, if they look like the character or not? Specifically in a look-alike fashion. We're not necessarily only talking about, are you the proper gender? Are you the proper race? Are you the proper orientation? We're not even going into that sort of thing. This is solely a visual. Do you look exactly like that actress? And there have been a lot of websites who do pinpoint this person looks exactly like this character from Game of Thrones. Oh my God. And I've actually seen some really good Tauriels from Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah, there's been quite a few lately too.
And I've seen a good Legolas. And I've seen some really spot on Game of Thrones. But at the same time, does that make or break a costume? Just because you look just like them, and if you look just like them, do you start getting typecast? To where you can only do variations of that one character for the rest of your life. You are doomed to only cosplay whatever that actor or actress plays.
Yeah, and it's one of those weird like catch-22 scenarios. It's like you love the character and it's like it's awesome that you look like them, great. But I want to do other things. Are other people going to respond to me as well because I'm not cosplaying, X character? It's like, oh, I've decided I'm not going to do this Lord of the Rings thing anymore. Now I'm going to move over to Pokemon. And it's like, no, you can't do that. Well, yeah. And I think it's interesting how in our mindset as Westerners, we have a different approach to cosplay versus those who are in the East, where their focus is more on looking like the character. Where it doesn't matter about the craftsmanship as much. It doesn't care if you act like them, if you are spot on an exact lookalike of, Lupin the Third, that wins versus anything else. So it's kind of interesting how the media tends to focus more on the way the Eastern people think versus how we generally think of the cosplay community in the West.
And I think right now in its evolution, cosplay is still a highly visual hobby, which this was brought up with Jessica's article that we talked about last episode,
Right.
with wanting or not wanting to show off one's assets. It's cosplay is still a really visual hobby. People look at cosplayers. They're not always standing in front of them to be able to flip hems and see the detailed texture of a prop. So it's you get a picture. Okay. And I know that there are some cosplayers who are basically only known for cosplaying one character just because they look so much like them, and nobody looks at the rest of their lineup. They just want photos of that one thing because they look so much like it. I can see that as being a bit of a problem because then people basically ignore anything else that you do for the rest of your cosplay career. And there's some really talented cosplayers out there who just happen to have certain genetics. And if you think about it, you can do some amazing things with makeup too. So you can kind of make yourself look more like a particular character if you do your makeup right. I mean, I have seen some very convincing Star Trek that was done with makeup. And they look good. But without the makeup, they didn't look anything like character.
Oh no. Makeup is a very awesome and powerful tool if you take the time to learn how to use it. You can do some amazing stuff with makeup. That's why you think guys like I why do you think I like body paint so much? You can literally change your entire skin color into awesome, crazy space alien things.
I want you to know that for a split second, I was tempted to do body paint.
Ah,
Split second.
for a
And then
second.
I was like, no. No, because I looked at cosplaying Soraka.
Oh.
It's like I can do a bodysuit all the way up to the neck, but then I'd have to go to body paint for the head.
Yeah, you would.
Nope. 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 Just nope. But back on topic. In a way, because cosplay is so visual and associative, like once you've seen what you consider to be a perfect portrayal of a character, it kind of sticks in your head as the bar to meet. And anybody who doesn't meet that bar somehow seems lesser. And I'm kind of approaching this on a philosophical level, not necessarily on a this is how you should believe or this is how I believe. This is purely theoretical. So once you've set that bar, it kind of makes you judge everybody else. And I think that's not fair to either side, to either the cosplayer who set the bar or the cosplayers who come after them. Because we're basically then judging based on a personal standard that really doesn't exist because a lot of these characters, I mean, Game of Thrones is a book, it's a series of books. There are no illustrations of these characters to the best of my knowledge. Somebody invented based on descriptions in the book how they should be, embodied in a human being. And they cast certain characters. This is what casting directors do. They basically say, okay, what should this character look like? And they cast based on that. I don't think we can necessarily take the casting director's decision as God's word as to what that character should look like forever and ever until the end of time amen. I'm really big about that with Lord of the Rings. Because they made some great casting decisions, but I don't think you should take, Peter Jackson's word and Fran Walsh and everyone else who worked on that. Their word is not the end all be all of Lord of the Rings. Tolkien had the final word, and Tolkien didn't have color illustrations in his books. They left it up to the people's imagination for a reason. And I think cosplay, in a way, should be done the same way. Manga is black and white, guys. It's not in color. The characters don't necessarily have a defined hair color. They don't have a defined skin tone. They don't have a defined piece of clothing that they always wear everywhere. So let's use a little bit of our imaginations and appreciate that people have different interpretations on things. If they don't look just like the cast character, that's okay. Appreciate their craftsmanship. I know we have contests that don't appreciate craftsmanship, but we can still appreciate craftsmanship ourselves.
Yeah, definitely so. And I do think it also kind of does a disservice to the cosplayers who do happen to look alike, XYZ actor or actress, because you don't actually take the time to respect what they're wearing and the amount of effort and energy and time that went into making that outfit. So it's just like, it's a struggle. The struggle is real.
It is. And of course, whenever you see these people in real life, all of a sudden all you want to do is see them in that costume, and it just kind of breaks your perfection, your high bar in your mind to see them in normal, mundane clothing. Come on, guys. These people have regular lives too. They're not just embodiments of this other person.
Though I do have to say that it is kind of interesting when there's a a quote unquote famous cosplayer and you see them in normal clothing, it's just kind of a surreal experience because you're just like, wait, you don't look like that. Seeing Lee in normal, Lee Kovacs in normal mode was very weird for me at first. And I was like, wait, okay, I know who you are, but I just can't quite place it yet. Give me a couple. That's always the hardest part. And it's always funny whenever we have cosplayer meetups outside of conventions. It's like you're in normal mode. Nobody knows what you look like in normal mode.
Right. Now, I will say that seeing lookalikes, just looking at them, is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, it is
I'm not going to
cool, no
bash on
doubt.
it.
Yeah.
I just think it shouldn't be the be all end all of setting the bar for cosplay perfection for a character. But it is really neat to look at.
I say Lone Star MASH, who does Logan from X-Men, aka Wolverine. Oh my goodness, he is like a dead-on look-alike, and he adores it. He lives it up. He breathes Wolverine. It's like that is awesome. Cool on you. I will never hate that. I will always love that because I adore Wolverine. It's just nifty to see.
And for those that want to take it and run with it, good on you, man. Keep up the great work. It's good stuff. And it obviously it earns you a lot of fans.
That's for certain.
Right. And we've got one final topic for today, just to chat
Hey.
about. This is one of Val's favorite topics because this is her favorite time of year coming up very, very shortly.
It's the
So,
most wonderful time of the year.
that's the title for this episode.
Ah!
Anyways, if you would like to introduce your beloved segment.
Absolutely. So Halloween is right around the corner. What? Yeah, it really is. It's only about 2 months away as of
2 days from
Monday.
now. Yeah.
As of 2 days from now, but not by the time that this drops. Whatever. We're going to confuse the crap out of you. It's going to be about 2 months from
Anyways.
now. I have been living in Christmasland at work since about June. So I am all about the Halloween. Like, you just throw as many pumpkins at me, and I'll be more than happy to take them and catch them. Because, oh my God, no more Christmas, please. But one thing that I've noticed is that Halloween stores have been really ramping up a lot earlier than normal. They have been spamming my email box since about May. And just in the past 3 weeks alone, I've gotten an email almost daily from some of my favorite Halloween go-to places. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the interesting costumes that are currently going on and the trends of this year. In particular, we have on one end of the spectrum, we have the controversy with the Caitlyn Jenner outfit for unisex, as and there's also a man version and a female version. But on the other end of the spectrum, we're getting a lot more geeky costumes out there. I'm not talking about Harry Potter because that's been around for a little bit. So is Batman and Superman because those are staples. I'm talking about like Assassin's Creed. There's actually a line of Assassin's Creed costumes at certain Halloween stores. Holy crap! Halloween is growing up. This is cool. However, the female versions are still scantily clad and skanky, and oh my goodness, I want to smack the crap out of them. But just the thought that they're going in that direction is kind of cool. So that's what I wanted to talk about. That's like, oh my God, Halloween costumes are growing up. This is awesome.
And they're becoming a lot more inclusive than they used to be. They're expanding their franchises. It's not all the same, DC, Marvel, Avengers anymore. This is not your parents' costume store.
Oh no, it's definitely fun geeky time costumes. I'm trying to think of what other ones I saw. The fact that I saw an Ass Creed costume was aka Assassin's Creed. We all call it Ass Creed. The fact that I saw one of those just blew my mind. I couldn't comprehend this.
And the nice thing is that the quality on the costumes is actually picking up a little.
They look like something that
Not
could last
much.
more than one wear, which is an improvement.
It is, and I noticed that the cost is going up consummately.
Yes.
So you won't be able to go into Party City as easily and build a costume for, say, $15 anymore. Now it's probably going to cost you something closer to 40.
Yeah, all the costs keep rising, even when you add in your coupons and your discounts, unfortunately. And it's just cost of labor keeps going up and all that funness. So even though the quality's gone up just a smidge, there's been quite a drastic price increase. So it's not so gravy.
But at least they are adding accessories to said costumes. So now they're coming with more stuff for that price. So now you can get it comes with the headpiece, it comes with the gauntlets, it comes with shoe covers. Some of them even come with wings if the character has wings. And some of them even come with swords and daggers, like the Assassin's Creed. I believe it may actually come with a dagger. But the other thing is that kids are getting more into it now with the geeky,
Oh
because a
yeah.
lot of the movies that are geeky are starting to be more inclusive, or see, I don't want to say tone it down because they're not necessarily toning it down.
Oh,
They're
definitely
basically
not.
they're adding content for the kids, but adding in little Easter eggs for the adults so that it's very inclusive. It's a very family kind of movie. And I like that because now kids are wanting to cosplay not just superheroes, but geeky things.
Like we're all growing up. Oh, I know what I remembered. I've seen some Doctor Who stuff now at costume stores. Oh my goodness. Even little things like was it number six who had the eccentric scarf? I can't remember which doctor that is. Four? I get them all confused. I'm not a very good Doctor Who person. I apologize in advance. But yes, this, I mean, just seeing the scarf on one of the shelves, I was like, wow. This is such a weird improvement. I don't know what alternate dimension I have walked into. Clearly, it was a Doctor Who related one.
They're coming out with Doctor Who Lego. They
Yes,
made
I
it
saw
Lego.
that as well.
Okay. So they're really trying to push the next generation into Doctor Who. And the Doctor Who Legos will be from the 10th. They'll be Tennant.
Okay.
So Tennant is going to end up being a lot of people's doctor, whereas for our generation, Baker and Eccleston were a lot of people's first. So they're kind of bumping it forward just a little bit. But I have seen kids as young as 8 cosplay doctors. And I mean capital D doctors, not like, stethoscope doctors, which are fine
The
too.
doctor.
A different kind of geeky. So, and I've seen very young kids cosplaying things like Hawk Girl. It's like, yes, join our army, one of us, one of us, one of us.
And now that Party City and such those places are all carrying these type of things, it'll be much easier for them to get into this. And it's like, that's gonna be so cool. I really hope during the parade next Saturday at Dragon Con that I get to see all these little tykes wearing this stuff. I would be very, very happy.
I noticed that Firefly Path recently reposted an article about family cosplay, where it's becoming a thing. And the index picture was the dad was Han Solo, the mom was Princess Leia, and the kids were Ewoks.
Cute.
Little Ewok headscarves, I guess is a good
Okay,
way of
yeah.
putting it. It was basically the head and the shoulders. It was like a mantle.
Cute.
So they weren't wearing all of it, just the upper portion of it. And it was like, oh, my heart just feels so good.
Get them while they're young, and they'll just keep coming back.
Well, it's healthy to let yourself go in fantasy every once in a while. It is very, very healthy because it allows you to kind of detach from the real world for just a little bit and recuperate. Because the real world can really get down on you sometimes, and you just need a break. I mean, some people go to the spa, some people get massages, some people go on vacations into the wilderness and leave all their electronics behind. These are all valid ways of getting away from it all. Cosplay can also be a valid thing. So, letting kids effectively role play through being their favorite superheroes or being their favorite characters is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
I can't say enough good about it. I mean, you don't necessarily have to sew to be able to get your kid into costume. They make decent costumes still at places like Party City, or you can go to your favorite retailer if you want to get the slightly cheaper version.
But knowing that the slightly cheaper version is finally an option, thumbs up. like cosplayers are starting to slowly take over the world. First, we had our patterns. Now we have our fabric. Now we're getting our costumes.
And every year they're still coming out with more and more costume patterns from geeky series.
Oh, yeah. And it's really cool that places like McCall and all of them are actually bringing in cosplayers for suggestions and ideas on making new patterns. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I
Yes.
approve.
And speaking of the Caitlyn Jenner outfit, because I had actually not seen this.
Oh, you haven't? Oh.
So I am looking at it now, or at least what I think it is. And this is a legit news site. I went to somewhere that I could vouch for.
Okay.
And I had safe search on just in case. But apparently it looks like Spirit Halloween is the one selling this particular costume. This is based on her Vanity Fair cover. So if you haven't seen that, you can Google it. It's everywhere on Google. It made a big splash whenever it hit stores. But basically, Spirit is saying that we have a wide diversity of costumes, celebrities, public figures, heroes, superheroes, that Caitlyn Jenner is all of those things, and therefore we will sell this costume. Based on that, that's fair.
And here's the thing. It's like, I know some people are going to be offended by it because they're like, there's transgender issues and all this stuff going on. Okay, I get it. It's a Halloween thing, and they do this every year. There's always that one costume that's going to be the most topical because of some celebrity or some incident or something. It's just what they do, and Caitlyn Jenner is topical.
And Spirit isn't doing this to make fun of her.
No, and not at all.
And if you have religious objections to it, just like if you have religious objection to anything or a belief-based objection to any costume, you are more than welcome not to wear it. You're more than welcome to petition the store not to sell it. Totally within your rights. But at the same time, Spirit's a private business. It's their right, as long as it's legal, to sell whatever they want to sell to.
Exactly.
The costume's going to cost $50, and like we were talking about earlier, it does include a corset and a wig. So that's actually decent for $50. And Spirit sells all sorts of costumes. They sold Bush masks, President Bush masks when he was
Oh,
president.
yeah.
They sell President Obama masks. They sell all sorts of gag type things. And frankly, if you think about it, with the history of Halloween, basically, on Halloween, it was said that the spirits of the dead would roam around looking for people to consume, and they would have kids and adults dress up in costumes so that the spirits wouldn't recognize them and would leave them alone. That's one of the theories of the history of Halloween. So, if you look at it in that sense, Halloween is kind of really all about a sense of play.
Yeah,
And you
absolutely.
have to take some of these things with a couple grains of salt. No, it is, at this point, it's a very commercialized holiday.
Oh, yeah.
But primarily, it is a children's holiday. It's for the kids. I understand adults have parties, adults do their own thing on Halloween. Perfectly fine. If you look at the marketing and pretty much everything else that goes around Halloween, it's for the kids. Tricks is for kids. So I wouldn't bite too hard into this apple, frankly, to use a really bad metaphor.
Apt because apples Halloween, hey.
Yes. And I'm sure there will be plenty of Maleficent type cosplay.
Oh,
And with the new
absolutely.
what is it, Descendants? Is that the Disney movie about the kids of the evil?
Is it
I
the
think it's called
Descendants?
Descendants. I think the series is called Descendants. But there should be more of that kind of cosplay too.
Oh, yeah. You got
Yeah,
it right.
absolutely. Yeah, because I remember seeing promo shots for it. So there will probably be cosplay of that too.
It's going to be the same thing. You'll have, the Hunger Games with the last one, and you'll have all the outfits of the competitors. That's an easy one for stores to
Yep.
sell. And you've got your standard, you got your Avengers and your
There'll be
superheroes. It's
Avengers
like,
and Star Wars, since that will be coming up basically 2 months right afterward.
But I mean, Halloween is a day of play. It's not meant to be a day of political statements. And I mean, if you just don't like it, then don't buy it.
And even the political statements are in fun.
Yeah. It's all about a day of tongue in cheek.
Yes. So, as we say, run with it, try and have fun with it. And if you can't, find some other way to have fun.
Exactly.
No, just enjoy yourself no matter what you do. And it is on a Saturday this year, so that will mean even more opportunity for those who are elder to enjoy themselves at a party.
Zaniness will ensue.
There is that. All right, so other than that, anything else?
Good.
I believe we are good for this episode 97 of Cospod, the podcast for all things
Woo!
cosplay. Of course, if you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions for episode 100, we are still taking those. You don't have to send in video or audio if you don't want to. You can still message us if you want. If you want to send us an email, perfectly fine. If you want to message us on Facebook, also perfectly fine. Please send them in. If you have photos from Dragon Con, PAX Prime, Anime Fest, anything else that's going on this coming weekend and this weekend of recording, please send them to us. We would love to be able to share those. And as always, you can find us on all of our social media here, 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 and here. And you can email us at podcast@cospod.org. We will see you guys next episode. Happy cosplaying. Amber out.
Bell out too. Bye.